How do I say goodbye to what we have?
Welcome into the program.
The good time that made
it is a football Friday, but it's a sad one, John Lopez. And
what is that,
Walker.
Man? We got playoff football tomorrow.
Yeah, but the Texans aren't going to be.
There's something missing. What is it?
Well, the deep steel blue and the battle red and the
Liberty white.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
We're watching football tomorrow for the first time since second week of August without the Texans.
Yeah.
Wow, man! Since you put that song on,
I like this. I stole this bit from Matt Jackson. Full disclosure: shout out to Matt, who used to be an employee here, and every other station in town, like the rest of us. he used to play this a lot. When sad things would happen in Houston sports. And he had a lot of opportunities to play it for a while.
Yeah, in this town, man. I'm telling you.
But it is an upbeat edition of the show for other reasons.
We need to change the damn song.
Yeah, Landry, can you like play Celebrate or something like that? Something very happy here.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to bring us completely down. And by the way, next segment, we're going to have something really cool to talk about. Patty Smith from the Houston Sports Authority is going to come
Patty
on.
The
Patty Smith. I mean, she is the legend. And she's going to be talking about the Houston Sports Awards Show, which this station is heavily involved with, obviously, and was a very cool event last year, and they're going to continue it. So she'll have details on that, and that'll be straight ahead. But, it's the first non-Texans Football Friday of the season.
Hadn't really thought of it, man. Now Landry has been kind of like a subtle, really not so subtle, sort of picking at the scab all week. Landry is like the best producer in town. We all know that.
He's awesome.
So when he plays the exact same open to our show every day.
Did he play Vandy all 5 days? I wasn't
all
here Monday.
5 days. It's not an accident. So what are you doing? Explain yourself over there.
Just because the Texans season is over doesn't mean it's over. We're going to learn a lot tomorrow. And this is one of the best weekends in sports. It's only unfortunate the Texans are not a part of it. But we're going to learn a lot about the state of this franchise, specifically tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Yes, we are.
When the Colts and Chiefs play, what you're looking at as a Texans fan is you're looking at the two biggest hurdles for the future for your Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any hope for the Texans, obviously you want to keep your eyes on your own paper and hope they improve their own roster, but those two teams that are going to be in Kansas City, the Indianapolis Colts, who bitch slapped you twice, almost beat you a third time, except they decided not to accept the tie, and those Kansas City Chiefs that have the other quarterback that was taken two drafts ago in Pat Mahomes, those are going to be your two biggest hurdles for a long time. So if you're a Texans fan, I'm not sure exactly what you root for. Maybe you root for Andrew Luck and Pat Mahomes to run into each other and have career-ending concussions. But other than that, this is a big game for Texans fans to view tomorrow. It might make you sick.
Right.
But the reality is, those are the two teams that are going to be the hurdle for Brian Gain and company.
And you know what is sneakily the one of the most powerful numbers in sports? 51.
51, number 151, episode 151.
51, you don't think...
You're talking about Lawrence Funderburk from the Sacramento Kings?
No, Randy Johnson was 51.
Yeah,
Ichiro Suzuki was 51. People don't think of 51 as like a 23 or something like that.
I forgot that was... I guess if you had told me what's Randy Johnson's number, if you'd asked me, gun to your head, your life depends on it, I don't think I would have guessed 51.
Dick Butkus was 51.
Bernie Williams was number 51.
Somebody else.
Ken Norton Jr.
Maybe I was thinking of Bernie Williams. But like people think, 51, like if your kid gets number 51, the immediate reaction is like, who wore 51?
How many players are on the team?
Hall of Famers wore 51. Like crazy.
Yeah. No, and by the way, we left out David Robinson yesterday for 50 because
50.
He was body bagged by Hakeem Olajuwon.
That's why you left it out.
Right. So, but 51
Ichiro is one of my all-time favorites.
Why?
I think he's the greatest. You can argue he's the greatest hitter in the history of the game.
Okay. Over Ted Williams?
Ted Williams and Pete Rose are the three. And you can put
that would be my next.
You can put them however you want.
That's a really good trio.
I think he had like 9 200 hit seasons.
They only count here. They only count here.
No, man. No. Here. Before he even got here, sure. he had more. I'll look it up. But he's one of my favorite players.
Yeah, he actually had like 5,200 hit seasons before he ever came to America. Yeah,
maybe not 50.
So
but.
He was, I mean, he was put on. There are just people that are put on this planet to do what they do in those
certain
baseball. Sports.
And he has the gift.
You know, and I had no intention of going this. In fact, I was going to talk about, you know, your just absolutely horrible show prep the first 15 minutes before the show.
He's a sicko. You really are. Well, you disgust me, John Lopez.
I do not. You love me.
I'm not disgusted.
You love me.
My wife and I like to tell people you literally can't offend us. So I wasn't offended. It was just funny that like it's 15 minutes before the show and we're listening to Gilbert Gottfried do the Aristocrats. And it's like Landry literally got disgusted, said as much, and walked out. I think he had just, to do the tease.
He was going to leave anyway.
Yeah.
10 200-hit seasons in Major League Baseball.
How many do you have before that in the Japanese League?
I don't know. I don't have those stats. But
why not, John? What are you good for here?
I'm worthless. I'm disgusting.
We've established that.
You are a sick man.
Oh. You can't help but laugh at that.
No,
it's disgusting.
That was too much.
And
man.
Then the dog walks in.
It's awful. He was on Mad Radio. It was actually pretty interesting.
That's how this came up.
Yeah. You should peep that on Mad Radio. I liked him on Problem Child. I thought Problem Child was an underrated flick.
You see the sequel to that, by the way?
I did. I actually enjoyed that, too. Whatever happened to Junior from Problem Child?
I don't know. I know what happened to John Ritter, unfortunately.
He's been in a bunch of, you know, cross-reference this with the Aristocrats. He's been in a bunch of Disney movies.
Aladdin.
Aladdin. He was the parrot or whatever.
But I think he's been in others. I'll IMDb him here while we're talking. But yeah. I think he was in Aladdin, and he was also in another one. I'll have to look it up. But anyway, yeah, no, he was really good this morning.
Yeah, I didn't get to hear that interview, but it was funny because I was talking with Paul Gallant about it because when you see people like that you've... Thank you.
He's got a little Gilbert to him when he
kind of does. Mm-hmm. I bet they got along today. But it reminded me of the time when Norm Macdonald came in. That was like a similar type, you know, kind of almost like a caricature person.
Yeah.
Like there are real life people that remind you of cartoon characters, and Gilbert Gottfried and Norm Macdonald, for two very different reasons, are certainly qualifying as those kinds of people.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, but it's going to be, it always sucks that first weekend when your team doesn't win a championship but was in the playoffs and you've got to, especially, do you guys have this phenomenon where you don't almost want to watch the team that beat you because you're so upset? And I'm talking about when you're a fan and you're invested, because I had that a lot growing up with the Rockets. A lot.
Yeah.
They won the championships when I was in junior high, and then they were constantly getting beaten in the first round most of the time by some team that I just felt like had never had any business beating them, but always did somehow. Because remember, that was a thing for a long time.
Seattle, Utah.
Yeah. Portland.
Yeah.
Even the first round bugaboo would continue. And then they beat Portland finally.
I don't have that problem. How about you, Landry? Because I don't really mind. I want to see where you stack up.
Not at all. It's usually more fun when you have someone to root against, but you can't really root against the Colts or Chiefs because either way, it's not good for the Texans when that team gets a game away from the Super Bowl. But this is the thing that I was thinking about today, and we'll probably get a little bit more into this at 11 o'clock. But a year ago yesterday was when Brian Gain was hired, and I actually pulled some audio from the station a year ago of what we were saying about Brian Gain. And what we were saying about the state of the Houston Texans franchise. And the weird thing about that is at this point a year ago, I feel like I was more optimistic about the Texans than I am right now. And it's not necessarily because I don't believe in the Texans and think they're going to be good, but it's just everything around them and everything, these hurdles that I mentioned, have made such significant strides that I feel like Brian Gain has an even bigger task this year than he did last, despite the fact that I think he had a pretty good offseason.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of agree with you, and I don't know, it's weird, because you almost don't know why, in a way. You think you should be more optimistic this offseason.
And it's not like you're down on the Texans, it's just, damn, look at the Colts, damn, look at the Chiefs.
Yeah. It's because other teams around you that are still playing, too, in this case, are set up better, and so you're thinking, well, you know, they better have a heck of a draft, they better hit a home run on those offensive linemen, they better go get some corners.
You know what I think it is, in part, is you've waited and waited and waited, you know, 15 years in this franchise's case for a quarterback, and you finally got the quarterback, and you realize you need more than that. You know, I would call them like the if only team. You know, if only this, if only that, if only they ever got a quarterback.
If only they could get Schaub's line to block for Deshaun.
Yeah, exactly. So they finally get the quarterback, and I think and I'm just kind of processing this right now because it just occurred to me, but I think that's part of it. It's like, okay, we have the quarterback. Why aren't we winning Super Bowls?
You know? I think the best case scenario for Texans fans, and this is going to sound crazy, I think the best case scenario is that the Colts lose tomorrow, and it's because Andrew Luck doesn't have enough weapons around him outside of T.Y. Hilton, mm-hmm. and they're talking about how they need a receiver or running back, and with a lot of that cap space, they go sign Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, and it ends up being a complete flop. That, to me, that's the best case scenario, because them spreading around $115 million in cap space with what they already have scares the living crap out of me. So mm-hmm. I'm almost wishing, and I know that there's a high ceiling if these do pay off, but I'm almost wishing or hoping that they go out there and bring in a Le'Veon Bell or an Antonio Brown and they just completely flop and blow up the Colts. That's my best hope right now, because I don't see this team slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, not with Chris Ballard in charge and all the intangibles they've got to keep building on what they already have. It's not like they're rebuilding now and they're set up to rebuild. They've already got a good core, and they're going to add to it. So that's the rough part. Hey, you know what's going to happen next segment? Patty Smith from the Houston Sports Authority is going to join us here in studio, and she's going to obviously talk about the Houston Sports Awards show, and then she's going to map out the blueprint of what the Texans have to do this offseason to become Super Bowl champions.
Of course she is.
So, and it's going to be like flawless, effortless, like mm-hmm. everything else she does. I'm looking forward to it, and that's straight ahead here on In the Loop. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Adam Clanton with you on a Friday edition, Football Friday, non-Texans version of In the Loop.
All right, now let's talk about Tread Right Tires and making sure we get you guys taken care of those tires. All right, if you have a truck, a Jeep, an SUV, you know what I'm talking about, a rugged machine, if you will, you know what it costs to buy new tires, an arm and a leg, pretty much. But I always say this, take heed, put it in your navigation. It's on 65. It's at 6501 navigation. It is Tread Right Tires, and they are the premier mud terrain and all terrain provider for Jeeps, light trucks, SUVs, and you get great deals. When I say great, I mean great. The most aggressive remolded AT and MT tires for those vehicles. Tread Right offers 35-inch tires as low as $139.99, as well as all your other light truck tire size options at amazing 20% off, if not more. Tread Right Tires, they're made right here in Houston, Texas. It's a hidden gem, so you got to find it. Put it in your navigation, 6501 navigation, the leading supplier to great companies like Amazon and Walmart. You do not want to compromise your quality, and you won't. Your family's riding on these tires. Get a good deal and get great tires. It's Tread Right Tires. Put it in your navigation, 6501 navigation, Tread Right Tires.